I feel like a woman is more qualified to preach about mothers, and because this is Father's Day, you say, well, then you ought to be qualified to talk about fathers. And whenever you speak on either one, do be kind. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I shall be kind on fathers. But I also realize that whatever I say on this day has a boomerang effect, and I hope not to be ducking everything I say as though it's hitting me. And so I may say it to you, but it's going to come back to me. And I have a wife and two children here this morning can almost throw it back at me no matter what I say. So anyway, I want to say some things about fathers. I never stop learning about the subject. I believe the father role is very important. And that's one thing wrong with our society, and many people are now waking up to that fact and are not really sure what to do about it. Fatherhood carries with it, besides responsibility, a great opportunity that I really feel like belongs to the man. And I don't want to divide the men from the women today. But we are different. And God has chosen to give us different roles. And I am not going to argue with God's choice of roles and God's choice of functions. He set the whole world in motion. He set the program in operation, and I'll just go along with it. But God did give the man a function, and one of his functions would be that of a father. And it is different from the role and function of a mother, and I want to talk about that function today. I believe I carry a greater responsibility and will be judged far more severely about the way my children are than Mary Lou will. Now you say, who's Mary Lou? That's my wife. If you don't visit in the morning, that's who Mary Lou is. And I do not particularly like the idea of facing that judgment and that responsibility, but I was born a boy, became a father, and now must be judged for that role in life. Now Psalms 127:3 tells us how God regards children, how he looks upon children. Psalms 127:3 says, lo, children are a heritage, or a heritage of the Lord. That means they're a gift. That means that they are inherited from God. Children are our heritage, or inheritance from God. Would that mean that we are the children's inheritance from God? Verse doesn't say that, but I inherit the child. Does a child inherit me? I do believe. And almost from the moment the child is born, they begin to draw on my inheritance. Do they not? The money I have gained and earned and set aside, already they start drawing it. In food and in clothing, and for probably 18 years, and for many, probably more years than that, they continue to draw on their inheritance. You say, well, they're going to leave it to me anyway. That's true. But all during the life of the child, that child is getting inheritance money and support out of the parents. But I believe you get more than financial inheritance from the father. You also get an inheritance, or a moral inheritance, a moral ethic inheritance. You get a work ethic inheritance. Good or bad, you're going to get one. You get a disposition inheritance from your father. You're going to get a sense of value inheritance from your mother or father. You're going to get a guideline inheritance from your father. You say, well, how come you keep saying father? Well, it's Father's Day. What would you expect me to say? It's Father's Day. Yes, but everybody knows that a mother has far more influence on the child than the father. That may be so. But it's Father's Day. And we normally associate mother with the word love. The question hit me, well, what word should we use to associate with the father? We have a word for the mother, love. How about dad? Do you have a word for him? Well, that's a dangerous question to ask. Because some might say, yeah, tyrant, overbearing, abusive, inconsiderate, stingy. Well, I hope none of these words came to your mind when I asked the question, what word would you associate with father? We normally don't use the word love. We reserve that for mother. Well, let me ask you another word. What word would you associate if you were God? What word would you associate with the father? Not what you would find as an appropriate description of father, but what do you think God would give as the appropriate description word for the Father. Now, when I ask that question, well, you got an answer. Yeah, but I didn't get one for a long time. I had a hard time trying to figure out what word should we place with the Father. I think love for mother is a good one. But what word that really provides emphasis on her role, and she plays it well. You know, you don't normally associate that word with father. Not that he doesn't love you, but he seems to love you in a different way. Barry called me up. He said, well, who's Barry? That's the boy over here. That's my son. So, talked to him last night over an hour. I said, what word would you associate with father? He couldn't think of one either. And we debated this and talked this over for about an hour. And I said, the only word I can really come up with, and I don't particularly like it, because it's a word that has a sour ring in people's ears, but I think it's a word that God associates with the word father. It's the word authority. The word authority. The father is to be the authority figure in the home for the children. He is to be the authority figure for the family. I want to give you the kind of authority figure I'm talking about. Not the tyrant, the overbearing. I want to give you two pictures of what I think the father's authority is concerning. He has the authority of a construction superintendent. And if you have that job, I don't think any of you do, but if you have that job, you are a person with authority. But you also have a person who has a job, who has an obligation, who has a responsibility. And a lot is riding on what this person decides to do. But they do have authority. And without it, nothing would be built. But they do have authority. The second thing is an authority of a commanding officer in the military. Go back to the first one. Both men that I described to you have authority. The man who is a military leader and the man who is a construction superintendent. But they are also under authority. The building superintendent or construction is underneath the authority of somebody. He is accountable to somebody. And he better do it right according to somebody's hiring instructions. He too, though he is an authority, is under authority. And so is a man in the military. He has authority over the men under him, but he too is under the authority of somebody above him. Accountable and responsible for teaching and certain things he must do to fulfill his role and his function in life. Now, there are many details the construction foreman must carry out. His job is to erect a magnificent building. That's his job. That's what he is called to do. That's what he is hired to do. And a lot is riding on the decisions that he makes, the okays that he gives, and what he disallows to take place. That's his job. That's his responsibility. But he is a man with authority, but the authority has one purpose. I am going to erect a beautiful building. For one day, the lives of many people will depend on that building being built correctly. And it's my job to see that it's done. Now, you're getting the picture of a father under the authority of God. And you also see the picture of the responsibility of the father. And by the way, he doesn't give to the mother, to the father. Now, we're talking about a Christian father under God. We're talking about a home in which there is a Christian father. Where that is true, this is the responsibility that I feel the man is on. The other thing is, the man who is going to train someone for battle, the military commander, he knows he only has so long to instill in them and train them and teach them combat. For the day will come when they will be shipped out from him, placed out in the field of the enemy, and everything depends on how well he has taught to them if they will live and they will survive. It's not a game. It's not fun. Because he realizes these people under his authority can get themselves killed if he does not take serious his job of authority. And the father has so many years in which to build a unique building out of his child. And many lives are going to be affected by what he builds of his child. And a father has only so many years before his child goes out into the world to confront the world and the flesh and the devil and all the evil that can come upon him. If he doesn't get him prepared, then there will be sorrow and sadness and misery and destruction and possible death. It's not fun and games. Many men shook the whole responsibility. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I don't care how the building is built. I don't care if my son or daughter survives when they get out in the world of the enemy. I don't care. Just give me my newspaper and give me my TV set, and I don't care. Well, you have shirked your authority, and you have no authority. Not really. But any other authority you try to take has not been given to you. You have been given the authority to build your children so that they can produce beautiful lives. And you have been given the authority to provide your children with safety when they get out in danger. And that's your authority. And you go beyond that, you go beyond your authority. Now, at the same time, one of the first lessons that I think a child needs to be taught as you present to your children that you are the authority is that you are under authority. Because your children will challenge your authority. What right do you have to tell me what I can do? And dad, you don't just say, well, because I'm your dad. No. You say, but son or daughter, because I am under the authority of another father. And he has told me what to tell you. And really, when you disagree with me, I'm going to have to refer you to him because I'm under his authority and I'm being told the same thing I'm telling you. I'm in the same situation you're in. I have a boss too. And I'm not telling you anything that he's not telling me. And so my authority, my child, doesn't come because I'm just your daddy. My authority comes from the one who is above me. And if you don't like what I tell you, you take it up with him. If you don't like the way I'm constructing the building, you take it up with the man who drew the blueprints. You argue with God. Know what I mean? I'm just carrying out instructions from headquarters. And what I'm telling you is what's being told me. And we're both in the same boat, my child. I'm under the same authority as you are. Instill in your children's mind that God is the final authority on every subject. He's the final word. And you'll be a lot more able to control your children than if you feel like and act like, well, I am the authority. No, make God the authority. Because that's really where your authority comes from. It's from God. And tell your child that God has given you the obligation to follow the blueprint. And as your child gets older, say, here, child, is the blueprint. Read it. I'll show you where it says you ought to measure up. Just like this. I'll show it to you. Now, look, if you will, at Proverbs 22:6. I won't take this as instructions to the man. Train up a child in the way he should go. I want to stop right there. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Just want to read the first part. Mother agrees with father on this. Always, mother should agree with the father. If the father is giving the blueprint laid out by God, mother's backing. Don't let your children come to you and say, well, mama said I can do it. Mothers never contradict the blueprint. Now, if your husband is not giving a blueprint, you go to your husband and say, listen, husband, the blueprint says this is the way you ought to tell the child to do. This is the way you ought to act. Now, Father, get your act together, and you get under submission to the Heavenly Father, and you carry out your role and function, and you back me on this. There should be no split parents. One going to Mama, and then one going to Papa to get what Mama won't give. No way. My children go to Mary Lou, they're going to get me echo. If they come to me, they're going to get her echo, because she's my echo. And we're supposed to be God's echo. You get the same message both places. If I went to my mother and she said no, stuck. Went to my daddy and he said no, stuck. Then I was stuck with a no. I couldn't get a yes out of one and no out of the other. That's what it ought to be. But be sure everything's based on the blueprint. That's all you got to do. Now, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Listen to me. Not to them, because I'm telling you what God says. Does God have the authority to say what's right and wrong? Why, sure he does. Does he know? Sure he does. That's why he's the authority. Verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with sinners. Refrain thy foot from their path. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so shalt thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you shall be a beautiful structure. Beautiful structure. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Notice who gives the commandments. The Father. Where does he get them from? God. Where does the wisdom come from? God. Tell your child, thus saith the Lord. Don't say, I say so. Tell them, God says so. Go to a higher authority, fathers. Tell them where you get your information from. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. What instructions? Those he got from God. And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Where did he get it from? God. Forsake not my law. Whose law? God's law. Where did he get the law from? God. My children should not have to obey any law I give them that is not of God. Should not have to. Need not have to. If it's not of God and I can't show them it's of God, then they have no obligation to keep that commandment. So I'm saying we are an authority based on, of course, what God says is right. God says is wrong. God says is best. God says is good. I don't have to dream up all these rights and wrongs for my kids. I don't have to debate all these stories and philosophies and psychologies. I don't have to worry about that stuff. I just say, son, God is smarter than anybody else. He's all wise. He knows what he's talking about. I believe he knows what he's talking about. He has an authority. I'm going to listen to him, and so are you. And I'm going to build your life according to his commandments. That's the way it's going to be. And the subject is closed. I could care less what you think about it. I'm telling you the subject is closed. I have a few years to get my job done, and I'm going to do it. I can't guarantee the outcome, but I'm going to do it. And once your child realizes that, I think it's going to make your work a lot easier. A lot easier. And you can't teach a child what you don't know. You really can't. So you have to know the blueprint. You have to study the wisdom of God. You have to know the commandments. And when a child disagrees with you, he ought to understand he's disagreeing also with your Father in heaven. It's disagreement with two people. One you and the other God. Don't overstep the bounds of your authority. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It's often dangerous to give authority to anybody. It goes to their head, and they become overbearing, ruthless, inconsiderate, give some people a little power, and they go crazy with it. And so we say, well, fathers are in authority, and so some men go crazy with authority. That's not the authority you have, people, is to go crazy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 gives a warning to the fathers. Stay within the bounds and confines of your authority. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As long as you can say, thus saith the Lord, you're on safe ground. But when you start making up all kinds of rules and regulations that are all none of the Lord, just your own personal whims, you're getting off the grounds of authority. Now, what's going to be essential for you to successfully build and equip your child for battle is submission. And that's going to be absolutely essential. You have no authority to say, do as I say, don't do as I do. You just cut your authority off from under you when you do that. Jesus said, what? You go out and do that. No, sir. He said, come, follow me. And we're both going to do the same thing. I'm going to submit myself to the authority of the Heavenly Father, and you're going to submit yourself to me. Submit, I will, and submit, you will. I may not like everything every day my Heavenly Father tells me to do. There may be things I would rather do myself, but I must submit. And you watch me, my son, daughter. You watch me, I will submit. You'll hear me say, I'd rather go do this. But you watch me. I won't go do it. I'll submit. I'll give up my rights and I'll give up my desires and give up my plans. You watch me, kids. And you'll hear me say, I'd rather be out on a golf course. But I won't go. Because you'll also hear me, God says to do this. And I will submit. But if I'm going to submit, my children, so are you. One way or the other, you will submit. Do you understand? You're not going to get a privilege I don't get. I must submit. We're going to both carry out the same rules. And you can just watch me and do like me. And we'll be doing real well together. Now, folks, there's your authority. If you tell your child one thing they have to do and you do this the opposite, you have lost your right for authority because you have not submitted to your authority. And they can see that real quick. But if they see you're willing to do it and you're going to do it, then it makes it a lot easier to get them to do it. Now, what do we need to teach our children as men? One day they're going to have to take authority over their own lives. Barry, gone. Ginger's gone. No longer am I the authority compelling them to do anything. But if I've done my job well, they will take authority over their own lives. They will take authority over their own flesh. They will take authority over their own morals. They will take authority over their own honesty. They will take authority over their own temptations. They will take authority. And they will be able to say, no, no, no. Because they are in now charge of their lives. I don't want to go to work today. Those in authority will say, get up, get dressed, and get out there and go to work. If I have learned authority, I don't cave into my feelings. I get up and I go to work because I have learned authority. And I can tell myself what to do and what not to do, and myself obeys me. There's the great value of authority. Barry, before we close, gave me one more word for a father. He didn't know he was doing it, and that was the word servant. And that's really, I guess, the best word to describe the father role. He is a servant. He's to give his children the service of guidance, the service of discipline, the service of provision, the service of protection, the service of wisdom, the service of experience. Yes, he is a servant, just as a building superintendent and the military commander. But his main service is building Christian character into his sons and daughters. Building a beautiful life and equipping that person to go into a world of danger and win the battles that he might face or she might face. Have just a few minutes left. I wish I had more time to deal on this. I'll throw something out to you. Everybody here, almost, that can understand me, I want you to imagine that you are married. Male, female, widow, widower, single, whatever you might be, married, whatever age you might be, just assume you are married. Forget about the wife. Forget about the mother role. Just assume that all of you are married and you're young and you are making out your will and you have two children, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, boy and a girl. And there's that possibility that you could die, you and your mate, before the children got very old. Who should you leave them with? Many refuse to face the question this morning. I'm going to ask you to make believe face the question. Who would you leave these two young children with if by chance you happen to be killed tomorrow? And I want you to pick only a father. Forget about the mother. I want you to think only of a father that you'd want to leave your children with. You'll probably start with, these must be living. They can be 20 years old. They can be 100 years old. I don't care who you pick, just a father. A father figure to raise the children. Supposing the mother is just as dedicated as the father. You'd probably start with your own father if he's living as a candidate. You may not pick him. And then you would go down to the brothers. Would any of them be good fathers? Then move to the brother-in-laws. Would they be any good fathers? to raise your children now, to construct your children, to prepare them for the future. You move from that, I guess, to maybe the men who are cousins and who are uncles. And I guess if there was no one there you could find, you might move to the church. Is anyone in this church, any man, single, married, or otherwise, any man that you would say, that's where I would leave my children, with that man, the father? If no one in the church, then you might move into the secular world where there's some people you know who are friends you work with. Maybe that would be a good one. And then last of all, there would be a total stranger. And you'd probably say, well, I would never do that. Well, it depends on total stranger. He might be truly qualified, but you probably wouldn't know him. Pick the one that you think would be best qualified to raise your children, that they might have a chance to turn out like you want them to turn out. What man would you pick to be the father? Now, some might say, well, I want one that's financially well off. That would not be my first criteria. I want one that was living in a nice home in the nice neighborhood and had a college degree and a good job. That would not be my first criteria. I wouldn't consider that first. My first question would be, is the person under the authority of the Heavenly Father? That might be my first question. And I'd go down my list of names with these questions. Does he know what God has taught as the building blocks of life? Does he know those things? Or is he absolutely ignorant of the Word of God? That might be very important. People say, experience, qualifications, do you have a degree? Do you know anything? Well, if a guy says, no, I don't know a thing about it, but I want to build your building. I can't even read blueprints, but give me the job. No way. No way. I couldn't do that. I want to know if he is already able to present himself as an example of the kind of way he would mold my child. That's very important. If you can't do it yourself, you can't teach it. So I have to check that off. That's very important. Then would he exercise authority over my children? Or would he let them do as they pleased? I wouldn't want him then. I wouldn't want him then. Would he let them always get their way? I wouldn't want him as my father. No way. He wouldn't be my pick. Would he let them get out of doing what they don't like to do? No. If he did that, I wouldn't want him. Because you're going to have to go up against the grain of a child many, many times. That's why you're training them. That's why you're instructing them. That's why you're teaching them. So I want to know how's he going to just let them do what they want to? Will they be allowed to run the show? I don't want him to raise my children. I want them under authority. Then, would he give my child words of encouragement? I want to know that. I'm getting down the list, things of less value, but I mean they're important. I would consider these. Would he be able to give my child words of comfort, words of guidance, words of wisdom? Would he give my child words of appreciation? These are all good to build esteem and character. Would he be a person who would be willing to admit error when he made it and say to his child or my child, I was wrong and you were right and I'm sorry and would you forgive me? I'd want that. Would he insist that my child go to church with him every Sunday? Yes. That'd be a must. I don't care if my kid wanted to go or not. Tough luck. He'd go. Why? Because the Heavenly Father, under whom I am authority, go. Go. Someday you'll be worth it, but go. Would he pray for my child? Would he pray with my child? These are all important. Would he talk about Jesus Christ in the home? That'd be important to me. A mother, and I'll close with this, usually occupies her time with her children in the present. Right now, right today, right this minute, right now. The father has a more extended view than the mother. His mind is occupied with the distant future. He has only so much time to prepare his child before the child leaves the nest. The mother doesn't think a whole lot about that. She just enjoys the little chicks while they're in the nest. But the father is saying the day's coming when the chick will be grown and gone. And it's my job to look down 3, 5, 6, 9, 15, 18 years, and what am I going to do to prepare my children when they leave? To mothers, they're never going to leave. To father, yes, they are. They are. And they're going to meet bad people along the way before they ever get out of here. I got to get them ready now for what they're going to face. I got to build now but the Father's mind is down the road. I've got something I'm going to accomplish down the road. And so there's different thinking between, I think, a man and a woman. One last question. I'm not sure you want to answer this one. I'm not sure you want to hear it. But I say this to the fathers. If you were going to adopt out your children today, would you adopt out your children to yourself? To yourself. Would you pick yourself to be your father? Very thought-provoking question. If not, you can change and you can be the father you have just listed on the piece of paper in your mind. That's the one I'd pick. That father can be you. That grandfather can be you. It's never too late. Never too late. Father, we're thankful today for you as our father. We ask this morning our special blessing upon those in this congregation who are fathers with young children, those who have that responsibility to get them ready for the day that they will leave home and begin their own life. And we ask, Lord, a special blessing for them that they lean to you for guidance as to what and how to instruct their children. Help each of us who are men to be the examples of what a father ought to be, no matter to what person we meet, men or women, boys or girls, young and old. May we still have that same father concern about everybody. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.